America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Everyone, welcome back. It's Inside Boxing Live. Dan Canobio, Chris Algieri, presented by PPV.com. PPV.com is the place to stream live boxing events and other events. They have other stuff besides boxing. They've been our proud presenting sponsor going on 2.5 years now. We got a big fight coming up at the end of March. Thurman and Fundora will be in the live interactive chat, potentially out in Las Vegas, doing all that fun stuff. So go follow PPV.com. where you can stream fights to your laptop, phone, big screen TV. That's it. Any more than that? Anything else? Any of the other devices? Your Game Boy, Chris.
You can do it in the air, which I've done in a cross-Atlantic flight.
Now, whoa, pause.
I know. Breaking the
law. You can do it in the air? Something you've done before?
What is that?
What are you talking about? Streaming fights?
Streaming fights.
Okay.
1,000 miles up, 10,000 feet up, 7,000 feet up, however, mile high club of.
That's what I thought you meant.
Of streaming fights. Mile high club of streaming fights.
Of streaming fights. And when they say, please shut off all your devices, and you say, listen, I'm trying to watch the fight. And the flight attendant goes,
no.
The flight attendant goes, how the heck is that stream so clear? What? We're in the air.
I was watching Gervonta Davis knock out Frank Martin on the way to Portugal. Couple years ago
on PPV.com.
I mean, solid stream the entire time.
If that's not a ringing endorsement, I don't know what it is.
Probably going to jail for this, but whatever.
I made a lot of money that night because I properly bet eighth round
you had inside track.
That's an all-time story. Meeting, yes. I'll never forget meeting Tank Davis at CVS the night before the fight while he's eating SpongeBob ice cream from the box.
So your dad can beat you in stories for sure, but you got that one over him. That's a good one.
Yeah, because we are. I sent you that picture yesterday. We are in the Tyson Douglas fight week nostalgia anniversary 36 years ago. Posted over on the CompuBox Twitter page. Bob Canobio was in attendance, and he did.
What were you? Two? One?
I was two. Oh wait, 1990. I was 3.5 because. On a couple of days later is when the picture was taken of me and Mike and my dad here, as you can see right here. See the date?
Lifers. That's it.
See the date? February 16th. And I was searching up some Tyson stuff. And I saw someone caught him coming out of that. That's an HBO studio. That's when he was trying to look for that appeal. Remember Don King said the count was too slow, or count was too fast? Mm-hmm. And so they went to HBO studio a couple of days after the fight, and I was pulling up some stuff yesterday on YouTube, and I found like what's equivalent of like an Ellie Secback fight hype. Like they caught up with Mike on the street, and he's wearing that outfit because it's a lot of denim. We're all wearing denim in this space. It's another joke. My dad's wearing denim.
A Canadian tuxedo.
I'm wearing denim. Mike's wearing denim. And then I saw the video of Mike outside in New York City street wearing the jacket with the glasses. And when I talked to Mike about this a couple times over the years, he said he had the glasses on because he's covering severe swollen eyes.
Yeah, Buster Douglas, his eye was – I forgot which eye it was. I think it was his left eye. It was damn near swollen shut.
You know why? Because they didn't have a damn end swell.
Well, it was something had to do. Buster Douglas's right hand had something to do with that. Also, that snapping jab. Let's not forget that. But yeah,
no end swell though.
The lukewarm water in an empty glove was not a great end swell.
It could have been a prophylactic because I heard Tyson. Not that he ever used those, but he was getting after it. I heard that week.
Three at a time. I heard.
I heard he was flying to Hawaii. I mean, I didn't hear that from me, but. Oh, man. That's how one thing could change in boxing. One night can change everything. That's like the upset. And every time it comes around, February 11th, February 10th in the States, February 11th in Japan. Who was I talking to? I was talking to someone, an old head, no disrespect, Showtime guy. And he said he was walking out of the All-Star game in 1990 when he heard the news, because the news, we didn't have Twitter, didn't have phones, didn't have anything. He said the word spread throughout the like arena and like the streets of wherever the 1990 slam dunk contest was. And that's so cool to me. Like hearing stories like that is epic.
Imagine being in an arena and there's like an audible gasp as people realize that Mike Tyson just got knocked out. Like the whole arena just goes like, oh, what?
And you kind of like, you can't like check your phone to like confirm.
That's so crazy, because that was not that long. 36 years ago is not that long to think how far technology has changed, where you can get up to the second information now. Right.
We were living in color then.
Yeah, but like this thing, we didn't have.
Yeah, this thing ruined everything.
This thing ruins everything.
Giveth and it taketh away.
Yeah, making us dumber every day. Dumber and more sterile.
My screen time is through the freaking roof, man. I'm so bored. There's nothing to do here, and with the coldness, I'm just scrolling like you wouldn't believe on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter.
You need a girlfriend, dude.
Yeah, dude. Anyone out? I mean, it is Valentine's Day weekend.
You missed cuffing season. I spoke about this months ago. When it gets cold up north, you got to have.
I know what cuffing season is. I know what cuffing season is.
You need to have a lady.
I'm married to the game, guys.
Otherwise, you're married to your phone. Now you're married to your
phone. I'm married to my phone. I'm married to the game.
Every night.
Doom scrolling. I'm also prepping for podcast.
Ingesting slop all day.
A lot of slop. A lot of slop lately. A lot of slop lately. We haven't talked since the Super Bowl. Xander Zayas, Emiliano Vargas stole the show. In the halftime video.
Man, we have a current, you know, world champion, two belt world champion 154, and a current prospect of the year on the biggest sporting event in the world. That's so amazing.
Sick.
So amazing. Boxing in the mainstream, man. And you couldn't have two better candidates either. Those two young men are just they're everything you want in a future star in the sport. They are good looking. They're well spoken. They're respectful. They train hard. You know, Emiliano is obviously a legacy from his father. Xander has been bred to be where he is right now. And these guys fight, man. They have star qualities, and they're not a better two guys they could have picked for this.
Everyone was arguing.
Mexican, Puerto Rican.
Mexican, yeah, Puerto Rican. That was so cool.
It's so boxing perfect.
Which was like kind of the theme of the concert and the performance, was to bring together all of Latin America. And to see that was pretty cool. Everyone's arguing over everything. And I was just so fixated on those two guys. I was like, no way, because it happened so fast. And I just remember watching a Zayas interview recently. And I noticed that he had like the mullet haircut now that everyone has.
Yeah.
And I saw the two boxers. I was like, are those actors?
Halfway there.
Yeah, you're halfway there. Like the burst fade, I think they call it. I saw the two actors. I was like, those got to be actors. And then I was like, wait a second, that might be Xander Zayas. And I was like, wait a second, that looks like a guy like a 185. Like Zayas has definitely put on some pounds since his fight. So then like I went on Twitter and I see more people tweeting like, Zayas, was that Zayas? Was that Zayas? And then, yeah, I was awesome. I've been enjoying all the interviews and content that Top Rank, Ring, everyone's been putting out, like behind the scenes stuff. I mean, that's huge. Man, Xander Zayas has two belts. He's got Bad Bunny buzz. I think he's signed to his labels over there in Puerto Rico. And he's just basking in it right now. I see him do a bunch of interviews afterwards, which is really smart. Shout out to Gardy Lopez over at Top Rank, doing a phenomenal job. So cool. And then Emiliano Vargas, who I've said is like one of the next big things. And that's, I mean, everyone said that. He's big on socials. Like he's big on TikTok, and he posted a lot of behind the scenes stuff, really like taking advantage of the moment. Because yeah, you'll watch it on TV, but then I didn't doom scrolling for the last 3 days. Like that's where we see everything. So like to see his how he got there, pictures with Lady Gaga, like stuff on the field. Insanely cool.
Kids are so smart. I love the way that they are taking charge of their careers and getting themselves out there. And most importantly is that they do it in the gym. Both these guys, they both train so hard. I've been in the gym with Xander. I've sparred with Xander. I know how he operates. I know how his mind works when it comes to this kind of stuff. It's great to see someone like him, you know, getting to where he should be, because listen, man, you put in the work and you stay disciplined, it goes a long way.
Yeah, let's see where he goes from here. I mean, two belts. Looks like Virgil and Boots is getting closer. An April date has been thrown out there, and we're seeing a lot of reports that we could be getting that one. Josh Kelly circling in the wagons, potentially getting that fight as well. So we'll see what happens with 154 pounds. Should be an interesting time in the lovely sport we call boxing. All right, Chris, let's start our episode this week with some heavyweight news. Fabio Wardley will be fighting Daniel Dubois May 9th. It'll be Wardley's first defense of his WBO title that he got elevated after he defeated Joseph Parker and Usyk vacated. There's the housekeeping there. For Dubois, it's his third title shot. Yeah, I like to fight a lot. I like to fight a lot. I don't want to get too ahead into the politics and is Dubois deserving and all that stuff. We will get to that in a second. Just on paper, in terms of pure entertainment, this is going to be an epic war at heavyweight and one I'm gladly going to watch.
I love this fight. It came out of left field a bit, you know, mostly because of what you were alluding to about the politics stuff. But maybe not really, because listen, which fighters should be in this position? You know, we're talking about Wardley and Usyk, and it doesn't seem like anybody really wants to make that fight happen other than Wardley. Dubois willing to step up, obviously got decimated by Usyk in his last fight, looking for a comeback fight, coming off of a loss right into a title fight. Yeah, technically that's not really cool. But this fight
is in vogue.
It's very in vogue. We are in the era of failing upward in our sport. But I don't know, man. This is a firefight. You got two guys who do not like to go the distance. These guys like to knock people out. Dubois likes to either knock you out or get knocked out. So I'm expecting a full-on shootout of two giant men. This is like the highest level of big, meaty men throwing heat, because these guys are big, meaty men. And they're going to be throwing heat, but they're high level, they're world class. So this is a very fun matchup, even if it's maybe not the one that is most politically correct.
Yeah, you got Wardley coming off of that stunning win over Parker,
awesome
the comeback win over Justice Huni. He has that clutch gene. He has that willing. He's just willing to win. It's hard to bet against him. And then you have Dubois, like you said, who is hit the canvas numerous times, has been down, has been out, has been on top. So it's a really good fight in terms of like, all right, whose chin is going to last? Because they both have great chins.
Yes.
Like they both can take heavyweight shots. I know Dubois has been knocked out and Wardley has eaten some massive shots in order to be still standing by the 10th, 11th round where he likes to end fights. So in that turn, like in terms of like who is going to have what late in this fight or even early, like whose chin is going to last makes it intriguing. Wardley is the flavor of the month in the heavyweight division. Dubois is the mainstay. And it's also, like, I'm trying to talk about the matchup before we get into all the other nonsense. Like, the matchup is very good. I think that's the reason why a lot of people are willing to overlook the fact that Dubois is getting another shot here. There's just not that many options at heavyweight that makes sense, like, business-wise. This is a business. This is a business before a sport. So you got to find all the right ingredients, and they went down the list, and Usyk is tied up, and Fury is tied up, and Joshua is not stepping into that ring anytime soon, and Wardley is not fighting a Talma. So in steps a guy that has been a world titleist before in Dubois.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones where when we opened it up, we're like, maybe politically, but then we look at it, like, there just isn't that many options, and he's willing to step in, and we love that, And I think that should be rewarded, and it is rewarded with a title shot and the fight that Dubois can really win, because Wardley has never been in with someone who hits like Dubois does. Dubois is a legitimate world-class heavyweight puncher. The guy has bricks for hands, and he is an absolute monster to really punch. Wardley does get hit. We've seen it. You know, he's powered through everything, but he's never powered through someone like this. So very, very interesting fight that, for as long as it lasts, because I don't think we're hearing a final bell on this one, it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Dubois is back with his old trainer, Don Charles. I think that will play a big role because what the heck was he doing in that Usyk fight, the second one?
Yeah.
Literally the worst game plan ever.
Yeah, that was terrible, and he got pretty much mowed down, but which is weird for the guy who's the puncher, but whatever. What are you going to do?
We're back. But with Wardley, too, it's like, yeah, you think of the late stoppage against Huni, and you think of the Parker fight, the Huni fight, he was down big, dude. He was down several rounds.
And Huni wasn't anything. I mean, he's nowhere near the level of these world-class heavyweight guys who've been in with all this, these experienced guys. Also, the Frazier-Clark, the first fight was neck and neck, split decision, comes back, obviously punches a hole in his head in the first round in the rematch. But, like, again, like, these guys have, Frazier-Clark, what do you have, like 12 fights? Less than 15 fights. There's just a level of experienced guys that Wardley has fought. I mean, Joe Parker was a huge step up in terms of experience.
Yeah, that was big. You can't knock him any part of that fight for him.
No, and that fight was awesome. His game plan was awesome. He fought awesome. He closed the show. Was it a hair early? Possibly. It doesn't matter. The fight was great against a really, really good fighter who was on a hell of a tear. So, I don't know. I'm a huge Wardley fan, so I'm psyched anytime he fights. And I want to see him fight these guys. Because at this point, Dubois, even though he's a former champion, he's kind of like, if you're going to be a champion, you got to get past him. Like when he knocked out Anthony Joshua, I was like, all right, well, Joshua's never going to be a world champion again. You know, and then he gets a shot at Usyk, and Usyk decimates him, as he should. And then it's like, okay, that's your role. You've been a world champion, but if anyone else is going to become world champion, you're like the highest level gatekeeper there is. And I would like to see if Wardley can deal with him.
Ajit Caballero was a name that I wanted to see in there for a title shot. But as of today, the WBC just ordered Caballero to fight Usyk.
That surprises no one, because you saw the fan base that showed up for Caballero's last fight when he fought I forget the Polish fighter's name. Knibba?
Tall guy.
Yeah, Knibba. The atmosphere in that place was ridiculous. And I think we did immediately, we did our show, we were like, all right, that was awesome. We need to go to Germany, but also I'm pretty sure we're going to see Usyk go there now. And we're going to see.
Well, I think.
Agut fight. Why not?
Agut is fighting again. He's not waiting around. I like that. I think he's fighting somewhat like soon. And I think the same area, which he should, find an opponent, stay busy, sell out, give us another awesome environment, and then see what Usyk does. Because Usyk has given up the WBO belt last year. That's why we got Wardley where he is now. And now he's flirting with the kickboxer, Rico Van how do you say it? Van Herven. WBC is giving Usyk a voluntary title offense. And then he says, you have to fight Caballero next or you're getting stripped. So the WBC is hearing it, bro. They're getting pressure put on him. You guys are interviewing. Mannix is interviewing him off of the heels of the ridiculous sanctioning fee for Shakur. And then we see this news that Caballero, the mandatory for Usyk, you have to fight him, Usyk, or you're getting stripped. But on the flip side, we've seen Usyk give up belts. I just don't know where Usyk's at right now in terms of what type of fights does he want. Does he want these Fury type of fights, which I'm putting Fury into that same boat as the kickboxer. I know I shouldn't, but I am. It's like a money grab type of fight. And then,
It's a spectacle.
Spectacle fight on the left for Usyk is the Furies, the kickboxers, the all that. Even Wilder.
Guys.
Well, even Wilder.
Yeah.
Then there's Caballero, then there's Wardley, and then I don't want to see Dubois again for the third time. Dubois beats Wardley. I just don't know where Usyk's going to go. He's at the end of his career. He has every right to do all those options. But I still think the Caballero fight, like, if you were put the two together, like, the money is there for Caballero Usyk.
I think we get it. Yeah, Usyk has passport, will travel. Has passport, will fight. And that kind of arena, that kind of a venue, when you're at the level of Usyk and you've accomplished everything and you are the absolute man, the man to beat, yeah, dude, you go on tour. You want to see the biggest venues possible. You want to feel the biggest fights. You know, that there's an addiction there that us fighters have about fighting in front of lots of people. So you have that opportunity with a rabid fan base against a fighter, who's good. But I don't see how he beats Usyk. I think I saw in that Khabib fight, I saw enough holes that I was like, yeah, I think Usyk eats this young guy up, even though, you know, fighting young guys is dangerous and you do round at a time. I don't think Khabib's the guy to do it, even though how much I like him. But yeah, I think we do get that fight. I think Usyk does pull the trigger on that. And it might be the last one of these kind of fights that you're talking about. Where
merit-based fight?
Where he does fight the up-and-coming, you know, young lion before he moves into the elder circuit and fights the Tyson Furies, Anthony Joshua's, Wilders, Rico Van Heerven of the world.
Well, yeah, the Wilder fight's still looming out there. That could be July. And then we're into the second half of the year. But I think there's a good chance, like, if Wardley gets through Dubois.
Isn't Wilder and Chisora, is that that's
that's April
or no?
Yeah, it's happening.
April. Okay. It's like, all right,
I think that fight just didn't happen, didn't materialize. So then Wilder pivoted to Chisora. And then Usyk is now figuring out what he wants to do next. We have this kickboxer. And then Wardley will fight Dubois. And if Wardley gets through that, he's an option for Usyk. And then Caballero is mandated to fight Usyk. So I think there's some good to come out of all this. Wardley Dubois is going to entertain the hell out of us May 9th. Should Wardley win, he puts himself right in the mix for a fight with Usyk or whoever emerges on that side of town. That's fun.
I love it. Good movement in the heavyweight division. A healthy heavyweight division is a healthy sport. So we got good fights on the horizon. These guys are getting paid. Why not? And it's global. We got a lot of guys like in other places. I mean, I do miss having American heavyweights. Wilder's kind of like our last bastion, but he's back now a little bit for the time.
Wilder?
Yeah, he's back.
Oh, he's back. And he's back, but he's regurgitating the same talking points from 2021. Fury loaded the gloves.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I will say this. Coppinger's putting feet to the fire here. He's like, show us the proof. Like, show us the evidence. If you're going to make this a big part of the promotion, because that's the only thing I saw to come out of this Wilder-Chisora buildup. Like, they did a bunch of face-ups, did a bunch of interviews, and the only thing I've seen emerge from it is that Wilder still thinks that Fury loaded his gloves.
Yeah, and good for Cop for following up on that, because you can't just say things like that. It's damaging to someone's personality, or it's their brand rather. And it's illegal, man. You can't put that out there without having any kind of credible source or a reason to think so. But I will say this, from a fighter's mind standpoint, at least we're seeing aggression from Wilder, because the post ayahuasca Wilder, who is just kind of floating through the world like, oh yeah, no, you know, whatever, man, I'm vibes in life and, you know, whatever. That guy, I don't want that guy. I want Bomb Squad. I only got beat because this guy cheated. I'm going to go and knock your head off, because if in a fair fight, I'm going to win. So from a mental, psychological fighter standpoint, I like that. The things he's saying, I think, is crazy and a little stupid, but whatever. I like the idea that he's literally coming to fight now.
I've always said fighters got to be slightly delusional.
Oh, yeah.
To get in that ring, to believe in yourself, especially this stage in his career where it's the end. It's 50th fight for him, 50th fight for Chisora. I think they're calling it 100. That's the promotion. I think it's pretty clever.
Pretty cool.
I'll be watching that fight because I am intrigued, because it's going to be – talk about another meaty man. Or Wilder's – it's about 220.
I'm curious to see where Wilder's at this point, because we've seen him all over the scale. We've seen him from 212 to 228. You know,
what about how he lost weight the night between the weigh-in and fight night?
That doesn't surprise me, because he doesn't.
The pacing. I mean,
yeah, it's just like, what? Nah, whatever. I mean, he's a heavyweight. He can literally go to the bathroom and lose a couple pounds. So if you're not like, and that can happen to anyone, if you're not cutting weight at all and you're just living and going, like, you know, it's like morning and night, you can be a couple pounds different, especially with heavyweights. But Chisora is.
I think it was the second one. Yeah, the second Wilder Fury fight. He said he was weighed in at like 214, and then he was 209 in the morning because he spent all night pacing in his hotel room.
Well, that's not a great sign of mental of your mental.
It makes sense from everything that came out of that fight night. So was I. Wild.
He got smashed. That was really surprising.
The second one was massive buildup. Promotion.
Yeah, I flew out on my own dime I told Top Rank, and I was like, hey guys, I gotta be here for this fight. Get me. I'm like, I'm not at work. I know I'm not working the fight, because it was a PBC Top Rank, joint promotion. So
PBC had the wheel for that one.
Yeah, I wasn't getting a spot on the team calling the fight, but I made my calls to the Top Rank, and I was like, yo, I need to be in the room. I'm like, I'll get myself there.
So we were both there. We didn't hang out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I hung out with Teofimo that night.
I was 18, 2018.
No, it was right before the COVID. It was literally a month before the world shut down. It was February 2020.
Right. That's right. Oh, man. That was – shoot. We're right around –
it's time. Around this
I
time.
I think I hung out with T.O. Senior that weekend too, actually.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I hung out with him a few times.
We came out of that. A lot of drinking. A lot of drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. But we got along.
Chris Algieri's here. Let's get a drink.
It's actually pretty good. That's pretty good.
Fucking man. Chris Algieri. I respect Chris Algieri's. Probably add the S to it.
Who said who would believe them, my son?
Chris Algieri's.
Yeah, it's
pretty good. I don't know what's going on here.
Your impressions are getting better, Dan.
Thank you. Thank you. It hurt my throat.
You got a bag of them. Small bag.
I have a few. I go to the well with a few. I don't have a lot, but I'm trying. I have Oscar. I have Tio Sr. That's really it.
It's better to have a few good ones than a lot of bad ones.
Yeah, I'm working on some other ones. So that's the heavyweight division. We can stick with the heavyweight theme here, talking about Zuffa 3, which is on Sunday. No boxing Saturday, really, but we have a Sunday night Zuffa, their third event. It is F.A. Ajagba versus Charles Martin. I don't know what to expect from Charles Martin.
You never really
know what to expect from Ajagba either.
Correct. I don't. Yeah. Well said. I like Charles Martin. I told you he's been in the gym down here in Florida. I got to train with him once, or I think I was sparring that day, and he was sparring. But he was hitting the bag. I was very impressed. He was a big, athletic heavyweight man. Good athlete. Good snappy power. This was a couple of years ago. So if you know you're a little older and you've been inactive. He's still a big athletic heavyweight and he can throw some hands. So he's a dangerous guy. Ajagba is a guy, I mean, he looks the part. He looks like he's walking out of a comic book or a movie to be, you know, the guy across the ring. And he can punch. Both guys are big. I don't think they're going to have trouble finding each other. So it's more than likely going to be a good fight. Unless it's a complete wipeout, I actually expect this to be entertaining. So good job on Zuffa filling in the cracks. We got a weekend. This is where Zuffa's really gonna butter its bread with fans is when there's not a big fight going on. You know, they got kind of smashed the last couple weekends trying to go head to head with some really big weekends, which I don't think they
still did Sunday.
I think they're just putting out fights. But even then you get engulfed. I think this is really where they're going to butter their bread. This is where it's really going to pay off that they're putting on these shows. So, I mean, cause guess what? We're going to be tuned in for sure.
Well, it's not Valentine's Day. I mean, so if you have
are they always Sunday?
I don't think that's why, but it comes in handy this weekend.
Dean is a bit of a lover boy. You never know. We might just be like, we're going to push.
Yeah, I could have plans.
I got to hang out with my wife. I got to.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have wives, girlfriends, significant others, and are going out Saturday night. I'll tell you
this. Girlfriends and wives do not like when you're watching fights on, first of all, and Saturday night in general, but during
dinner,
or a romantic holiday or a birthday, or any of those things, anything. Yeah.
Say, babe, it's work.
Yeah. Yeah.
What am I not working? I gotta work.
I mean, who pays for this?
Go out Friday.
This big screen TV. Who pays for this Netflix subscription? That ain't cheap.
Exactly. I mean, so yeah, Sunday. I don't know if it was inspired by Valentine's Day, but Sunday night we'll be watching F.A. Ajagba, 21-1. His last fight was a draw against Martin Bacoli. That was in Saudi Arabia on the Canelo Skull card.
That was a bit of a
fight. Left a lot to be desired in that fight.
Bit of a slop fest. I will give F.A. Ajagba credit though for taking the shots because he can punch. He showed durability, and he looked. You know, The fight wasn't great. It wasn't a
the fight sucked.
Appeasing stylistical fight, but he landed some big shots.
The whole weekend was cursed.
Bacoli was impressive too because he got hit with some big right hands on a jog by Ken Fight. But, you know, getting a draw with a guy like a Jogba, I think, is actually a win for someone like a FA, who has been kind of hanging around the same type of heavyweights for a while. That was a step up fight. Didn't get the win, but showed that he belongs. So, yeah, I'm not completely out on the FA Jogba train.
It's just like, what is a Jogba? I saw him, he's 31. He got the top rank push. Like you said, has the look. He looks scary. I had some high hopes for him around 2019-ish. Beat Kaladze. Stepped in the ring with Jonathan Rice, who was a name at the time. Beat him. Frank Sanchez lost. I remember him.
Fights, actually. Yeah, Jonathan Rice is.
Wasn't he like a strip club bouncer?
No, I think he was like a real estate agent or something like that.
Who's the other guy that was at the strip club? And he was like, I'm coming back to the strip club, baby.
I think that was...
Was that Nat Rice? The guy who beat Rice?
Yeah. I'm trying to...
No. It was definitely a strip club moment inside the bubble. No, I'm pretty sure it was Rice.
Maybe it was Rice. Maybe I'm confusing with the real estate agent. Maybe that's a different guy. I'm confusing the guy that you originally thought of.
Oh, Michael Coffey?
Yes.
Coffee versus Rice. Rice Coffee was a fight in the bubble. It was like a bubble.
I called it. Yes,
fight.
I called it. That's why I confused it, because I called that fight.
But Rice was a guy that emerged as the winner and also like the character.
Yeah. Yeah. He could fight. He could fight. He didn't really have proper training camps like prior to that, and had like a couple like tough fights. He fought Guido Vianello. These guys all fought each other. Like Guido and Ajagba fought.
Try to pull up the odds. But Jogba is like, Zuffa signed the Jogba. He's like their top 10, fringe top 10 heavyweight. I mean, Charles Martin's not. Charles Martin, they found literally just for like, let's get a name. Let's find someone and put it in there. Yeah, and he's 41, I want to say, Charles Martin. Like, he's been through the ringer. But with the job, but he got the loss to Sanchez, and then he beat Stephen Shaw, which was a good win, and he beat Guido, which was a really good win.
Really good.
Guido went out to have some wins.
In hindsight, that was a very good win. Guido's been on the tear.
Charles Martin, you got to really dig into his box of tricks.
No, but Charles Martin is a former world champion, so there's that. That's
in 2016.
So what?
Then he like Joshua bought the belt off of him.
What do you mean bought the belt? You mean knocked him dead with a 1-2?
Yes, but like they like served him up, like they overpaid him, and they pretty much just like, we want that belt. And
I mean, and that's, he got it. One of the great things about being a world champion. You have a token to negotiating it overpaid, quote unquote. So.
And yeah, because they really wanted that belt. They really wanted it. I don't know why I'm trying so hard to find the boxing odds here. I assume that he is a massive. Jog was a massive favorite here. Where is it? There's a lot of fights this weekend, but none of them are big ones. FA Jogba -800.
Yeah, wow.
To stop him, -140.
Okay.
It's a 10 rounder.
What is
10 round fight?
What is it to go the distance? What is it? Is there under over?
We're going the distance, 8.5, over 8.5, minus.
It's still minus.
You think Martin's gonna survive?
I do.
Hmm.
If there was any money in that, I would say that would be the bet, but it's not. But
he hasn't fought since November of 2024.
He looks like he's in shape from the photos I've seen, though.
Character. Prince Charles. St. Louis, former American heavyweight champion before Wilder came in, before he got his belt yanked by Anthony Joshua. And then
St. Louis, a cool city. I was like, you ever been?
No.
I like St. Louis, man. St. Louis is a cool city.
I would like to go there for a baseball game. Check out the Cardinals. I heard it's phenomenal. Some of the best sports fans in the world, known as being polite.
Polite. So the opposite of Pennsylvania? The opposite of Philly?
Oh, yeah. Way opposite. They like give their, like, Cardinals fans give, like, former players, like, players that are slumping, they'll give them, like, a standing ovation.
Wow.
But they won't boo. They don't boo. That's, like, their whole thing is, we don't boo. And you have Philly fans throwing batteries at Santa Claus. vomiting on the other team's family. These are factual things that happen.
Throwing batteries at Santa Claus.
They're never going to live down the battery throwing at Santa Claus. People don't forget. What else is going on in the Zuffa world? Oh, that's right. Jai Opataya will be fighting Brandon Glanton for the first ever Zuffa Boxing Cruiserweight World Title of the World. It's a lot of words.
World title.
Got it? World.
Got it.
Opataya is also the ring champion. He's also the IBF champion. Ring and IBF were not on the poster. There are some rumblings. Is the IBF title going to still be on the line? I've heard yes. Ring magazine title is going to be on the line for sure, since Zuffa is in lockstep with Ring, I think. Not a bad fight. Glanton he lost his, not his last fight, one before that. Hard hitter.
He lost to, I think, Chris Billiam Smith.
Yes, won his last fight, though.
A couple years ago. Glanton, and he's looked good as of late. Glanton is a former Pro Box TV guy. He is an absolute beast. Always comes in fantastic shape. Really, really brutally strong. This is not a bad fight at all. And in terms of the title fight, whatever. I mean, the Zuffa title. I mean, I told you guys that he's the tip of the spear. Jai Opataya. That signing was very
he's the guinea pig
for a reason. Yeah. He's the tip of the spear in a weight class that's they can kind of have a run of, which is funny because it's not one of the original weight classes. It's one of these tweener weight classes. So the concessions continue. The acquiescence, I should say, of the rules are still apparent. But it's not a terrible fight. I would rather see Opataya fight one of the other big dogs in the division.
Yes.
He seems to be fighting the same level of guys over and over and over again. But you know, obviously with this new signing, they're not gonna do that. Like Noel McKellian?
McKellajohn. Noel McKellajohn, WBC Cruiserweight Champion, does a stare down with Opataya inside the Zuffa building. Yeah. So I'm thinking, all right, we're gonna get this unification bout, even though Zuffa doesn't believe in unifications. Still gonna get it because we have to see it. And Opataya needs to fight someone in the top five because he hasn't in almost 2 years, which by ring standards, he'd be getting stripped. The Breeders fight was in May 2024. We're now entering February of 2026. If you don't have anything scheduled, if you don't have a top five scheduled opponent on your resume or scheduled, according to ring, this is their own rules, Opataya will get stripped.
Well, all right. Wow, Dan, this is the problem with all governing bodies, and we're bringing in this a new governing body. We're getting the same thing. The problem is there's no standard of rule. There's no reason for a rule because rules means there's a standard. There's no standard. There's nothing across the board in this sport ever. Though none of the governing bodies, they all bend over backwards for certain fighters, certain situations, for whatever financial incentive makes the most sense or makes the most money, I should say. And they're just doing it again. We're going to clean up. We're going to do this. Apparently not. Apparently you're going to do the same thing because that's what everybody does in this sport. Dude, it's par for the course. Like I know everybody comes and talk on a whole big game, but when you get to this business side of it, this is what happens. And it's
like Dana came out and said all the things like eight, right? No, we're not working on any other promotion, 8 weight classes, 1 belt. And then we get to the nitty gritty, and he's like, people start throwing stuff at him. Like, we got to work with the keep in mind, McKellajohn is the WBC champion. WBC ain't stepping in the Zuffa Apex anytime soon. No. So that's why that fight's not happening. I don't know that on good. I don't know that for sure, but it's pretty obvious because they had Noah in the ring or the stare down with Opataya. That was perfectly right there for Opataya to reach his or meet his ring requirements. It's unification. He collects all the belts. That's something that Opataya said in his video when he signed with Zuffa. But then here comes the politics, the stuff that Dana has said I hate and why I have not joined the boxing ranks is because Mauricio Sulaiman is not stepping into the Zuffa Apex with the WBC belt when everyone in there doesn't want him. They want to put him out of business. So therefore, that's not going to happen. Then over to the ring stuff. I know exactly what's going to happen here. Is the Ring magazine belt, as I was trying to say in a a previous episode, is going to be more in focus now. They're trying to push that as the new WBC, as the next, this is it. This is the new belt, or the Zuffa belt and the ring belt. That's it. That's what we want. So now we're seeing more stuff come out about the ring belt. This was news to me that you can be stripped of the ring belt if you don't fight a top five opponent in a 2-year span, or if you're out of the ring, or if you test positive for a PED. There's all these grounds for them to strip you. Will they start to say, like, all right, we can't help the fact that Opetai tried to make fights with top five guys at cruiserweight and famously got turned down? Will that be their ground? And say, listen, we tried, or he tried in the past and couldn't get it. I just want to see how things are going to work now as the ring belt becomes more in focus. It becomes not just like a cool belt that everyone carries around, and they want it to be like the main belt in boxing. So are we going to get the same old nonsense that we're seeing from Mauricio and some of these organizations? Or is Ring actually going to put forth some rules and some ethics?
I see what you're saying. You're saying that essentially they're using the old guard of governing bodies as the past. And the ring belt is now coming to prominence and is going to be the bridge between the old guard and the new guard,
yes,
the Zuffa belt. But then what happens once, okay, so Zuffa belt becomes the belt, the other governing bodies are gone. What does the ring belt become then?
It's not going away. It's freaking owned by Turkey, and it's owned by a magazine, and it's not going away.
So it's a trinket, because there's only one champion. The champion is the Zuffa champion.
Are we living in a Zuffa world? Like,
right. We're living in a Zuffa world.
Everyone's gone besides Zuffa.
I'm saying, yeah, governing bodies are gone.
Oh my God.
Old guard is gone. We are in New World Order, NWO.
It's like Back to the Future 2, and Biff Tannen has taken over the Hill Valley.
Yeah, or in Hot Tub Time Machine when that guy went back and made Lugal.
So we're living in a world.
We're in a New World Order where TKO has taken over. Okay. Is any Zuffa champion not the ring champion? I would assume, because if there's only one champion. So what would be the difference? What would be the grounds? What would be the point of having a ring belt? You're cannibalizing yourself.
Unless it goes back to what the ring belt has meant for the last 20, 25 years. I could say it's a secondary belt, but it's like it was a separate thing. It was like the one versus two.
It was the people's champ belt.
Right. It was the type of belt where Dougie Fisher, if a one did fight a two, it was always like brought on the stage and talked about, and it was only being pushed by the people that worked at the ring. And God bless Dougie Fisher. You know, me and him have had some differences lately on Twitter about what exactly is going to happen with the title. But he was pushing it hard. Like, yeah, I truly believe that he cares about it. And when we got those one versus two battles, the Ring Magazine belt was up on that stage. It wasn't up on the stage like it is now, like prominently displayed and talked about.
But correct me if I'm wrong.
But there are fans out there that like it. There are fans out there that like the idea of the one versus two. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, I like that too. But let's just see, like, not so fast. Like, let's just see how they're going to act we've seen how these other organizations act.
I look at it like this, because like back when I was kickboxing, similar to boxing, we have multiple organizations that are, you know, and there was usually like three or four of them that were more recognized than other ones. Exactly like boxing. But there was one belt, the ISK, the International Sport Karate Association.
Yeah,
belt.
Yep.
That was the one that like everyone was like, yeah, you got that one. You're the world champion. That's kind of like the ring belt, because you can have these four different champions, but there's one guy who's got the ring. For example, Teofimo Lopez, he had the Ring Magazine belt because he was the kind of universally recognized guy to beat at 140, right? So Shakur beats him. Yeah, he gets the WBO belt, but also now he's, you know, going to be considered the guy to beat at 140. So there was that designation, and a lot of times it's the people's belt, it's the other champions, you know, eyes look at it like, yeah, it's the belt that I want the ring belt, you know, it's the belt you don't have to pay for, which, you know, famously Crawford brought up. So there's that. Yep. But again, you're talking about the one versus two, which is important in the current landscape of how our belt system works. In the future NWO New World Order of Zuffa and TKO, one versus two is always going to happen. So it's always going to be one versus two. It's always going to be best versus the number one contender. Again, the Zuffa belt will cannibalize the ring belt and vice versa. There will be no need for a ring belt if the Zuffa world is established.
Operating at full capacity.
Full capacity, right.
I think it will still be around.
But for what? Which Zuffa champion won't have a, it's basically just a tag along. It'll be attached.
Yeah, it's just like another cool looking belt that Rocky wore in his fights.
Yeah, but we can make you some belts, Dan. We'll make you one. We'll make you.
Well, WBC loves to make belts.
Yeah, I spoke to Mauricio yesterday about that. But we should make an IBL belt. Why don't we do that? IB belt. Chris and Dan's IB belt. And we should
WBC,
we'll award IBC. That to the guy that we think is the guy in every weight class. How about that?
Well, that's essentially what the ring is. Essentially, that's my only problem with them is they can't mandate fights. So one,
yeah,
they need the WBCs and the WBOs and WBAs to do their job. So one is mandated to fight two, because the ring can't force you into a fight, and the one can hold on to
do anything.
No, that was my issue with them. And
it's only teeth. It can strip you. That is the only.
We think they stripped Tyson Fury.
Right, but that's what I mean. Like that's the only thing they can hold over you. It's like, all right, well, we're taking.
They stripped Adonis Stevenson. Like one of their employees tweeted at me, Lewis Hart. I think he does great work. He was like a little bit of pushback because I said, "Hey guys, that's not so fast. Like the ring belt is cool, but." It's not the end all be all because of the reasons that I just listed. Like they keep the champions, state champions for way too long. They very rarely strip fighters. There's no teeth. They can't mandate fights. And he's like, well, we stripped blah, blah, blah. And then Dougie Fisher chimed in and was like, well, you can get stripped if you don't fight a top five opponent in a 2 year span. And Opetaia is staring down the barrel of a 2 year stretch of fighting not even top 10, like Glenn's 10. According to Ring, which another thing too is Ring's making the rankings.
If you're making the rankings,
well, he's 10. 10's fair.
No, I agree. I didn't mean it like that, but it's just.
But know, I'm just saying that's another thing too. Oh my God, huge conflict of interest. I'm very was happy to see when I tweeted this out. A lot of our listeners, I assume, and people that follow me were like, "Well, let's see how this Turkey Ring plays out." Let's see if they're not, you know, the rankings stay true. Because I will say this, the rankings are good. I did say this on social media to Dougie. So you guys' rankings are solid. You guys have solid rankings.
Always been
great. I'm not just a hater. I'm just curious how this is going to play out. Because the ring belt, I feel like in the next couple of years, is going to come into main focus before the NWO takes over. And like that should be the Zuffa belt. And then the ring belt should get phased. Will get phased out. Will it just be like the magazine? Like, but it's not there yet. Like the ring belt isn't there yet. Like now, it's. Can you name all the ring champs?
No.
I probably could if you gave me the time, but like, the ring belt is supposed to indicate you go through the 8 weight classes, right? And you pick you. That's the guy. Like Max Kellerman would say that. That's the man. So like 147, who's the like it's ring champion should be Haney.
Yeah, Haney.
Shakur 140. 35 is open.
Open. 30, like, Foster?
Open. Foster, yes, I would say
Foster. Foster's in a lead. He might not be the guy.
26, wide open. Inoue definitely has the 22.
Yes.
54.
Bam is definitely, what is he, 18?
Oh, yeah. Bam is at
certain weight classes where you just can't even
12.
68, open.
54?
54 open.
Well, go to Ring's website right now. And who do they have for top five at 154? I know they have Virgil Ortiz number
yeah,
one.
I posted. I'm like, the 154 is so wild. And this was not a knock on the rankings. I actually think the rankings were good. It's just how weird it is, this weight class, because everyone's so good. I said that the top fighter doesn't have a championship. There's a unified champion who's like number three. There's a world champion who's out of the top five in Josh Kelly.
Yeah.
Like it's a wild weight class in terms of where guys fall and how much talent is there.
I have it open here. So there 154 is vacant. So this is a great experiment or example here.
The ring.
There's no ring champion at 154. It's vacant. Number one is Ortiz. Number two is Fundora. So according to Ring Magazine, Virgil Ortiz would have to fight Sebastian Fundora for the vacant ring. Who is forcing that fight?
Yeah, no one. Well, okay, no question. One. Say Xander Zayas gets Josh Kelly. The winner of that fight has three of the titles.
Yes, the reverse six.
Still wouldn't be the Ring Magazine champion, correct?
No, not according to their rule set.
Yeah, the rules are...
They have Madrimov at four ahead of Ennis.
Which is wild, but...
And Ennis is about to fight Virgil, who, if you asked a fan at our party, who are the top two guys at 154, I would say a lot of them would say Virgil and Boots.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in the world would say that.
With Fondora third, Zayas, Fondora like neck and neck.
Yeah, I think that is the top four right there. Is Virgil and Ennis are basically interchangeable between one and two. Fondora is a solid three. Xander, solid four. And
they have Madrimov four. Their rankings are not terrible.
I'd probably have Madrimov in front of Josh Kelly, oddly enough. But yeah. So I can see him at five and Josh at six. I think him and Mrazaliev would be 6-7.
6-7. They have that right now. Yeah, 6-7 is Kelly, Mrazaliev, then Adams, Barao, and the guy I never heard of at the end.
Yo, where is Katsourakis? Why is he never mentioned? Yes, the one he beat Brandon Adams. He is never mentioned.
No, I had dinner with him, like a dinner party for McGregor's beer. weird party.
He was there?
He was there. Scooby.
Yep, Kurt.
A bunch of overtime guys, overtime boxing guys, guys. This is when I was at John Boy.
And Katsourakis are very, very cool guys. Also very talented.
Yeah, but Greek man, fighter.
He is a mother effer, man. He can fight.
Not in the top 10.
Wild.
They got Bakari Samake is at 10.
That poor kid is not being
Frenchman. Yeah, so I'm interested what happens with the Ring. It's a very interesting time in boxing. I've been saying that for a while now. So we'll see how the Ring operates as they get more eyeballs on them. They come into focus. Like, this is what they wanted. I mean, they bought the Ring for a reason. They've poured a ton of money into all aspects of the Ring. So... that's this weekend. Is there any other boxing this weekend? What's the rest of the Zuffa card? I will pull it up now.
How's the rest of the card? Because they've been putting it together. I mean, the last card was good.
Last card was the best one. It's not as good. It's not as strong as that one. It's
February. But even the first one, which obviously the main event left a lot to be desired, the fights underneath it were like meaningful guys you want to see because they're future, right? So do we have that kind of card?
I'm looking at Marco Huck fighting on DAZN Friday night, on Saturday night.
Huck?
Oh my God.
Captain Huck?
I interviewed him, called one of his fights in Foxwoods.
He is a wild human being. Wild man. Big boy.
Oh boy. Efe Ajogba, Umar Dazakambov versus Ahmed Ali Abi.
I know
Abel Meja. Light heavyweights. Abel Meja.
Yeah, Ali trains down here in Florida, or used to.
Abel Meja versus Jabrio P. Benito.
Mejia. Abel Meja.
Leo Ruiz versus Casey Streeter. Antonio Woods versus Mark Bwecki. I'm not recognizing any of these names.
Leonardo Ruiz has fought on our air on Pro Box. He's
Leo Ruiz.
Yeah. Yeah, he can fight. He's tough.
All right.
He's good.
We'll be tuning in. We'll be watching the main. See Charles Martin can shock the world, the prince.
I don't think the world's going to notice.
Sunday night. It's going up against the NBA All-Star game, which no one watches.
I just don't think anyone's really – not even that. It's just like it's not the kind of heavyweight fight – you know, that we're going to be like, this is not Agit Kabayel's next fight. You know, like,
no, they're giving us content. They're giving Paramount content. They're working out the issues. They're working. Yeah. They're working everything out. It's boxing. Could be something to come of it. Could be a crazy knockout on the card. I'll be watching. That's really it for this week. Spence versus Zoo.
I like it. I think both guys are in similar spots, even though they're very different in terms of where they are in their careers. Spence is the biggest question mark. We don't know what the hell's left of him between the couple car accidents, the horrific beating from Terrence Crawford, the 2.5 years out of the ring, going right back into a tough fight with Tim Tszyu. Tim Tszyu, who's 1-4 in his last, 1-3 in his last four. A couple of those were pretty bad. Murtazliyev was a bad knockout. The Fundora fight was really unfortunate. The first one, the second one was pretty bad. You know, he's a talented guy. Apparently he's getting a fight in between. But honestly, I mean, it's a rebuild fight for Tszyu, and it's a see how much is left fight for Spence. Like, how much money can this guy pull out of the sport before he leaves for good for Spence? And Tszyu, it's like, hey, can we actually make this guy into the star that he was supposed to be?
It's going to be in Australia, which I found interesting.
Cool. That is weird because Spence does move butts.
I think they must be paying no limits promotion over there.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
he's putting up a lot of money to stage pay per views. Tszyu, the one we saw with Zarafa when he quit with Tszyu's brother.
They have an awesome built in fan base, and yeah, why not?
This will be huge over there.
Yeah. I mean,
Errol Spence.
They brought Thurman went over there. He had that comeback fight, right? So
who did he beat
over there? Can't remember.
Jock.
Brock.
No, Brock Jarvis.
Jock Bravis. Jock Bravis.
Yeah.
Brock Jarvis.
I don't hate it either. I don't hate it. Like, I'm a big Spence guy. I like the guy. I think boxing fans respect him.
I like
him.
Both those guys. Tim Tszyu is very cool.
It's
very cool.
This is like two of the good guys of the sport. It's just a lot of wear and tear on both of them. Just Spence coming back is going to, like, the boxing world will tune in because this is the guy for years.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's the big fish.
It was great to see him. Where did I see him? I saw him in Texas, of course, where he's always at. And he's in great shape. Oh my God, the dude is in unbelievable shape. Still, did not fall off whatsoever in terms of the shape that this guy stayed in since the Crawford fight.
Fitness. Is his nephew? I think they're Jamaican, but they've got a bunch of them on Long Island. And
yes,
one of them has come up with my nephew in the amateur circuit.
Wow.
And it looks like a carbon copy. Like, he's just like similar build, like tall, long, wide shouldered, lean, muscular. Good. The kid can fight, man. National champion. He can really fight.
Do you remember when Spence fought in Brooklyn? At what's it called? The freaking roller coaster, Coney Island.
Oh,
were you there?
No,
it was right after the Summer Olympics,
the French one. The French,
yes,
right? Yes.
It was Spence's big coming out party because they were putting the fight on regular NBC immediately after the Dream Team game, 2016. And it was immediately after the, I think, gold medal game or a big game in Olympic basketball, like LeBron, Dwayne Wade, all those guys. And then next thing you popped on was Spence in the ring, Coney Island. And they were all week promotion. They were like, this guy's from Long Island. He's a Long Island. I'm like, no, he's not. I would have heard about him if he was from Long Island.
Yeah, it was Leonard Bundu.
Yes. Was it 2016?
Yeah, it was right after Spence fought me.
Yeah,
that was his next fight because Bundu had gone the distance with Keith Thurman, so this was he became a kind of like a PBC test guy. I mean, Thurman won every round and he dropped him, but like he went the distance, and then Spence, I mean, folded him like a lawn chair, asleep on the bottom rope. And
did his job.
Everyone was like, "Whoa, this guy!"
He did his job.
Yeah,
that was PBC was functioning at a very, very high
high
capacity. Class. Olympics into a boxing match? I would pray for times like that now. Now we get Paramount Plus. Pray for times like that.
Jeez, Dan.
It's sad. It's 10 years ago. A lot can change in 10 years.
A lot happens in 10 years, man. Especially.
What's the next 10 years? New World Order? NWO?
Could be.
One belt?
Or we're just watching AI robots fight each other. Then
oh,
we're
not stop! Even, we're I not even, they're end just, the show got, here.
It turns into what is it? What is that movie?
I don't even want to know what happens
Steel.
In 10 years.
Real Steel, a terrible movie. We're just robots fighting each other.
I was more of a Real Sex kind of guy. HBO.
Oof! Now you're showing your age, buddy.
That was like you had it on. You had it on late at night when you had a little sleepover. You're watching it and you have the last button ready. Taxicab Confessions was some gnarly stuff, man. Gnarly. I was like, I remember watching as a kid, be like, yeah, I was like, I don't want to be old. I don't want to get older. Taxicab Confessions is, it's too real. Like, there's adults. It's too adulty for me.
People, there's, I mean, I don't know. Our listeners are pretty young. They're not going to.
We'll see in the comment section. Guys, let me know if you watched Real Sex.
I remember all three of these. Real Sex, Taxi Cab Confessions, and Hookers at the Point.
Those are some HBO programming in its day after midnight. Those were the good old days.
That was all right, everyone. Turn into Skinamax.
Yeah, I know. It's great. All right, everyone. Enjoy your weekend. I'm going to tell you to get in those DMs. Because it's Valentine's Day weekend. Get in those DMs.
Shoot your shot weekend, says Dan.
Yes. Yes. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Get in those DMs. Make something happen Saturday night. There's no boxing on, so you can go on a date.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.